This is VOA News coming to you by remote. I'm Gene Randall. Shinzo Abe, Japan's longest-serving prime minister, has announced he is resigning because of poor health, ending his run as head of the world's third biggest economy. The 65-year-old Abe told a news conference he is stepping down, quote, with the belief that I cannot continue being prime minister if I do not have the confidence that I can carry out the job entrusted to me by the people. He said he had decided to leave office now to avoid a political vacuum as the country copes with its coronavirus outbreak, which has taken some 1,200 lives in Japan. Said Abe, I apologize from the bottom of my heart that despite all of the support from the Japanese people, I am leaving the post with one full year left in my term. Among the reactions to his decision, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison described Shinzo Abe as a man of integrity and wisdom, a strong promoter of open trade, and an outstanding international diplomat for Japan, an experienced statesman of the First Order. Donald Trump has formally accepted the Republican Party nomination for U.S. president to run for re-election. Using the White House South Lawn as a stage, Mr. Trump delivered a triumphant, optimistic vision of the United States and warned the country would be endangered under his Democratic opponent, former Vice President Joe Biden. Speaking before a live audience that largely ignored pandemic safeguards such as social distancing and face masks, Mr. Trump said, quote, we have spent the last 4 years reversing the damage Joe Biden inflicted over the past 47 years. Mr. Trump once again suggested there could soon be a coronavirus vaccine and promised a victory over the disease that has so far taken close to 181,000 lives in the United States. Johns Hopkins University puts the U.S. case count at close to 6 million. Mr. Trump presented himself as the last barrier protecting an American way of life, which he insists is under siege from radical forces. And so the final stretch of the November campaign is underway, with the president expected to soon begin crisscrossing the country to make his case for a second term. This is VOA News. Here in the U.S., the storm named Laura is no longer a hurricane, but it continues to cause heavy rain and tornadoes as it moves inland from the path of death and destruction it left on the U.S. Gulf of Mexico coast. Close to a million homes and businesses are without electric power, and weather forecasters say Laura could still pose a major threat to the densely populated east coast of the United States. With winds up to 150 miles an hour, Laura was one of the most powerful hurricanes on record. At least six people died. A full assessment of damages is not expected for days. The state of Louisiana was hardest hit, but it could have been much worse. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says the hurricane fell short of the catastrophic proportions that were predicted. Still, he described, in his words, a tremendous amount of damage. French President Emmanuel Macron travels to Beirut next week to pressure local politicians into moving ahead with the creation of a government which can implement urgent reforms. A French official said it was time for Lebanese political parties to temporarily step aside and ensure a regime of change was put in place. Reuters is reporting that China's factory activity likely expanded at a slightly faster pace in August, fueled by rising infrastructure spending and improving global demand. This as the Chinese economy continues to recover from the coronavirus pandemic. China's vast industrial sector is steadily returning to the levels seen before the pandemic paralyzed huge portions of the economy early this year. Official figures show that profits at China's industrial firms last month grew at the fastest pace since June 2018. Gambia's President Adama Barrow has extended by 21 days a state of emergency in mainland Africa's smallest nation as coronavirus cases have surged. Gambia, with a population of just over 2 million, has reported more than 2,700 infections since the outbreak in March and 93 deaths. Cases have increased exponentially in the country, prompting the government to reimpose restrictive measures. The global pandemic numbers a case count of almost 24.5 million and 832 million deaths. Here in the U.S., though the rate of new daily infections is slowing, the numbers remain stunning. 5.8 million cases, with fatalities approaching 181,000. Next comes Brazil with 3.7 million infections and a loss of 118,000 lives. Floodwaters in Sudan have reached the highest levels on record, killing dozens of people, destroying thousands of homes, and encroaching on some neighborhoods in the capital, Khartoum. The flooding comes despite Ethiopia starting to fill the reservoir behind a giant new dam, which is expected to help Sudan control future floods. More news online at voanews.com. For your listening convenience, there is also an easy-to-use mobile app. By remote, I'm Gene Randall, and this is VOA News.